This next Saturday begins our gospel meeting with Wes Brown. We're doing it a little bit differently than normal, starting it on a Saturday. And I want to talk with you about why you should not attend the meeting. You may have already set aside some time to be at every service, and I want to talk with you about some reasons you should not attend. And please, listen to the lesson. If you disagree with some of the stuff at the beginning of the lesson, listen to the whole thing. First of all, growing up as a preacher's kid, I've heard many lessons on Hebrews chapter 10, as Tom read tonight, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. You've heard many lessons on it yourself, probably. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. As a matter of fact, when my dad began preaching in Richmond, Virginia, he preached on attendance a lot. So much that the elders there asked him why he was preaching on it so much. And he said, well, when people start attending, he'll stop preaching on it, because there are so many people there that would come only on Sunday morning. And it was discouraging to him that so many would only attend on Sunday morning and not some of the other services. And without going into a study of that type of lesson, which I know that you've heard before, why we should attend services and why we should want to attend services, it should be something that we want to do. But when you get into that kind of discussion, there are some that come to the conclusion that they don't need to attend. And then there are some that come to the conclusion, I do need to attend because they're making me do it. And so why should you not attend? Should you attend because people are making you do it? Well, I'm going to submit to you that you should not attend the gospel meeting because you have to. You should not attend because you have to. And again, listen to the whole lesson. What happens when you have a group of people that only come because they feel like they have to do it, not because they want to do it? If you have a group of people that attend because they have to do it, because they want to toe the line, they're really not interested in serving the Lord. They're about as devoted to worship and serving God as it even is to making the yard look nice when he cuts the grass. He's not devoted to making our yard look nice. He's not devoted to the backyard and the front yard and trying to... He's not devoted to making his room look clean. Oh, I've got to keep my room clean, because I'm devoted to keeping this house looking nice. No, he's devoting his time to have to. His have to is Mom and Dad told me to do it. Mom and Dad told me to mow the yard. Mom and Dad told me to clean the room. It's a have to. And that's sometimes the way that people approach their worship to God. It's a have to instead of something that they desire to do. So it'd be much better if it's a want to instead of a have to, is what we're saying. So it'd be better if you want to serve God rather than have to. You should not attend a gospel meeting because someone will get on to you if you don't do it. And that falls into the same category. Someone will get on to you if you don't. Testing a new effect there. Everybody recognizes that attending is something that helps us to grow. I hope that's something that we all recognize. That when we attend more frequently, it demonstrates that we are committed to growing. And that we are also committed to each other. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, as we've talked about in recent lessons, one of the reasons that we come together is to stir up one another to love and good works. So it's not just about ourselves, it's about what we do for each other. And so we have this duty to each other to stimulate one another to growth. And, you know, when we miss, it's very likely that somebody will email us or call us. I know when I was in college, there were times that I missed when I shouldn't have. And sometimes it was due to spiritual weakness. Sometimes it was due to work scheduling. But the brethren there were very good about checking up on me. And I didn't always like being checked up on. And you know why I didn't like being checked up on? Because I felt guilty. But you know what? I needed to feel guilty because I was wrong. And so it was good that the brethren followed up with me to see where I was. You know, we missed you at services today. And so following services, it very likely, if you're not here, somebody will call you to check up on you and see if you're okay. And because of that, sometimes people, well, I'm just going to go because I really don't want anybody to call me. Is that the reason that we attend, just so nobody will check up on us? If that's our only reason for attending, is so nobody will check up on us, you know, maybe there's some thinking and analyzing and introspection that we need to do. I'm going to submit to you that you shouldn't attend the meeting just because you really like Wes Brown's preaching. I don't really know a whole lot about Wes. I know Rex has heard Wes before, and Rex suggested Wes, so it's not a good meeting. There he is right there. But I believe I've heard Wes before in the past, and so we're expecting that Wes is going to do a good job speaking. And, you know, quite honestly, I've been in some meetings before, some here, where I've heard speakers that I didn't think did that good of a job speaking. Some I've been more impressed with than others. Some I've been really not as impressed with as others. But isn't it nice when you have somebody that's speaking that you really can relate to what they're saying and that they're doing a good job presenting the material, which I expect Wes will do. But you know, that's not what our meeting is about, is it? That's not what any of our assemblies is about, whether or not I like or dislike the speaker. Our worship is about God. And the Corinthians had a problem with this very thing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 through 6, Paul tells us that the Corinthians had preacheritis. That's the way I've always heard it referred to. Don't brethren sometimes get preacheritis? Don't sometimes churches want to get the big name preacher for their meeting so they can get, you know, lots of attendance? Now, I won't name off who the big name preachers are, but everybody knows who some of the big names are. And then there's others who do just as fine a job and bring us the truth, but maybe people aren't as familiar with. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4, when one says, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believe as the Lord gave to each one? I planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase. Paul is saying, don't focus on me. Don't focus on Apollos. It's not about us. It's not about following men. It's not about preacheritis. This meeting is not about Wes Brown. It's not about a preacher. It's about God. And it's about God's Word and letting that cause growth in our lives. So it's not that you should attend the meeting because you like Wes Brown. And I'm sure we will like Wes, if Wes is listening to this recording on the internet. But that's not what it's about. You should not attend the gospel meeting because the topics sound interesting. I don't even know what the topics are, because Wes didn't tell us what the topics are, but he gave us a general theme, things that pertain to life and godliness. He didn't provide us with the specific topics. Many times preachers will give us the titles of their lesson, but Wes chose not to do that, and so he'd like to do that on the fly, which is fine. What if we had the topics? What if you only attended because the topic sounds interesting? You know, sometimes I will plan what I'm going to speak about in advance, and I'll announce it in advance. Most of the time, I don't plan that far ahead. But what if I did? I told you, well, this is the schedule for the next month. Well, I think I'm going to go. I think I'm going to come next week because Randy's going to talk about this, and he's going to be preaching a couple weeks on something he's preached about before. I've heard so many lessons on that subject. I don't think I'm going to go hear that again. You know, what is he going to say about that I haven't heard before? If the subjects don't sound interesting, is that going to make a difference about whether or not we would attend? Again, I think that's the wrong basis. The wrong basis for our decision, the wrong basis for our worship. Far too many people attend only when they think it's going to be of interest to them. What does that do? It means the focus is upon not God, but me. When I attend only because the topic of the sermons are interesting to me, then it's focused on me. You know, sometimes we see denominations that will advertise, you know, different kinds of activities, a fellowship supper or some kind of carnal activity to draw people in. And if, you know, it's very similar to when we see a subject being out. Well, I'm going to go because that subject is what I'm interested in, but if it wasn't that subject, I wouldn't go. We need to be careful about that. That worship is about sacrificing ourselves to God and not focusing upon ourselves. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 tells us, by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. There's certainly nothing wrong with being interested in a particular subject, but you know, to pick and choose, well, I'm going to choose whether or not I attend at my local congregation to where I have a responsibility to attend. I'm going to decide whether or not I'm going to go and be with my brethren based upon what's going to be taught on a certain night. We ought to be careful about making decisions in that way. So please don't do that. And you should not attend the meeting just simply because you don't have anything better to do. Now, my father grew up in Belle, Florida. And you know, there's nothing to do in Belle, Florida today. And there certainly wasn't anything to do in Belle, Florida when he was growing up. You know, it's not too far from Perry, and there's nothing in Perry either. Years ago, gospel meetings were the thing to do. You know, they'd have camp meetings, and my dad talks about, you know, they'd have camp meetings for 2 weeks sometimes. Gospel meetings were some of the events that they had. There was no TV for the most part. There were, you know, very few social clubs. Organized sports were not the way that they are today. Those kind of events were very rare. People really did not have anything better to do. I mean, when you say, well, I don't have anything better to do, it was true, they didn't. So, even non-Christians would attend the meeting. So, you know, that kind of reasoning, I don't have anything better to do, was really it. And so, people would go not because they were devoted to worship, not because they were devoted to God, but they truly did not have anything better to do. And really, that's not the way that we want to be. We don't want to worship God because, well, I don't have anything better to do. Our society, certainly there is a lot of things that people do. And there are a lot of things that do get in the way of people's worship. Have you noticed that we do not allow things to get in the way of events that are important to us? Have you noticed that there are very few meetings that are scheduled during football season? Or they're at least not scheduled on Friday nights during football season? We don't allow things to get in the way of things that are important to us. So, let's make sure that worship is important to us. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 tells us to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. If we only worship God because we don't have anything better to do, you can be assured that the devil will find us something better to do. There really isn't anything better. We'll say more about that in a minute. Why should you attend the gospel meeting? Well, we should attend because God deserves it. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. The elders and the living creatures before the throne of God said, "Worthy art thou, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou did create all things." That's why we should attend the meeting, because God deserves it. That's the bottom line. In Psalm 18, verse 3, the psalmist said, "I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised." That's why we come together. That's why we come together whenever we do. That's why we come together when we have a gospel meeting. God is worthy. He's worthy to be praised. God deserves the praise. When we come together at any time, it's because God is worthy of our worship. He created us. He sacrificed His Son for us. And He doesn't deserve anything other than our best. He doesn't deserve our excuses. He doesn't deserve our procrastination. He doesn't deserve our putting anything else in front of Him, taking the place of Him. So please, we need to attend our gospel meeting because God does deserve it. We need to attend because Jesus died to give us the opportunity to come together and do these things. Maybe sometimes other things take precedence over the assemblies of the gospel meeting in our minds, because we meet three times a week, four times a week if you include our Sunday morning Bible class in that number. That's pretty frequent. Maybe that becomes commonplace. And sometimes people take things that happen often, they take them for granted, and they don't value those things because they happen frequently. I think we take great care in taking the Lord's Supper, even though we take it every week, as we have the example to do. Even though we take it frequently, it has special meaning, and we want to remember that and not make it commonplace. And our worship should not be common. It should not be something that loses its meaning with frequency. We spend time together worshiping, and we need to be thankful that Jesus died to give us the opportunity to do that. Let's look at some of the things that are described, the way that the church is described in the New Testament. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 says, "If I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." When we see it described this way, when we see Christ's church called the house of God, that that brings to mind something that's significant, something that's special when it's called the house of God. It's not something that's commonplace. It's not Randy's house. And that's something that's common. It's the house of God. And Paul tells Timothy there's a certain way that you ought to behave in the house of God. It brings in mind the Jerusalem temple, which was also called the house of God. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 10 says, "It came to pass when the priests came out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord." It was a special place. And likewise, Christ's church being called the house of God is something that's special. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21, it's called the holy temple of the Lord. The whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, talks about us being a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We are the priests that are gathering in the Holy of Holies. So we're coming into God's dwelling place. Not this building, but this assembly. So when we come together, we're in the presence of God. So we need to think about that when we come together. It's not something that's common. Hebrews chapter 10, as Tom read for us tonight, it explains that we have confidence to enter the holy place because of the blood of Christ. Christ died to purchase for us the ability to do that, to gather here and to praise God. So when we have our meeting, we only have it because of what Jesus did. Jesus died to give us that opportunity. That's how valuable this is. We should attend our gospel meeting because it's something that we need. It's not something that God needs. It's something that we need. Psalm 50, verse 10. "Every beast of the forest is mine."
I think I have the wrong scripture down here.
God doesn't need anything from us. But we certainly need God, and we need to realize that. We worship because we need it. We need to remember the sacrifice of Jesus. And when we come together, it's something that's going to build us up. You know, when we have our meetings, it's something that really does build me up. It's not just part of it is because I get to sit back and listen to somebody else. That's a big part of it. But, you know, getting to come together and hear lessons in a compressed period of time is something that is encouraging. It's something that gives us a boost. And I enjoy that every time that we have the opportunity to do that. We need to realize the benefit that it provides for us. It's something that is a benefit to our families also when we can come together and serve God. What is it that we receive from it? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 tells us that it stimulates us to love and good works. We are encouraging one another. What happens when we don't come together? What are we missing? Well, we're missing that stimulating. We're missing the encouraging one another. God has commanded us to assemble, and we need to realize that's something for our own good. You know, our kids sometimes will get upset when we tell them not to play in the street, but we all realize that that's something that's for their own good. There's a lot of things that we tell our children because it's for their own good. And when God tells us what to do, it's for our own good. And when He tells us to come together, it's for our own good. What happens when we don't attend? We miss the stimulation and the encouragement. What happens when people become stressed and distressed and tired and discouraged? What's one of the first things that gets thrown out? When one of the times when they're the most vulnerable, a lot of times what they throw out is coming together. Is that the only time that they have to rest? Is that the only time that they're able to get a little bit of relaxation? Is that 1 or 2 hours when they're going to miss the encouragement and the stimulation from their brethren? It becomes a self-defeating cycle, because the one place that they can come for true encouragement to help them through difficulties of everyday life, what they can receive in the assembly is something that they don't get. Next week, starting next Saturday, we're going to have 4 more opportunities than we normally get to help pick us up and boost us, to help us serve the Lord in the midst of all the wickedness that goes on around us. So we need to be here because it's something that we need. It will help us. We need to attend because not only do we need it, our brethren need us. In addition to the encouragement we receive from worship and the preaching and the brethren that are around us, hopefully we can also be an encouragement to someone else. Aren't you encouraged by seeing your brethren when you come together? But when you're not here, when your brethren aren't here, that's something that's discouraging. Our brethren need our presence and our encouragement. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16 says, "Speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." Ephesians is telling us that the church will only grow to the extent that every joint within it is strengthened and is providing growth. It's telling us that we're all needed. And lastly, you should attend the gospel meeting because you don't have anything better to do. I know we've already made that point in one way, but you truly don't have anything better to do. We're saying it in a little bit different way. You'll have an increased opportunity to give praise to God. You'll have a greater opportunity to give thanks to God and to give thanks to Christ. You'll have more opportunities to come together with your brethren. You'll have greater opportunity to build up your brethren. You'll have greater opportunity to be strengthened and stimulate one another to love and good works. Now, can you really think of anything better that you can do? Do you really have anything better that you can do? And if we miss, and we could be here, what are we saying about what's important in our life? If we miss, ask yourself the question, could I have gone to work under the circumstances that caused me to miss? Would I have still made it to my child's school play under the same circumstances? Would I have made it to the football game under these same circumstances? Things that are important to us don't easily get set aside because we're tired and busy or distracted. We find ways to do things that are important to us. So let's make a commitment to find a way to be here next week, starting Saturday and the other services through Wednesday. So I hope I've helped you understand some reasons why not to come, but hope you see that there are lots of good reasons that we should come, and that you'll want to be here and be with brethren and be here to worship our God who deserves our praise. in our worship because of what He's done for us. If He can help you in any way in your service to God, we invite you to come while we stand together and sing.